Hello, and welcome to Tales for Life. In each episode of this podcast, we'll explore a folk or fairy tale from a different culture or region and discover the life lessons, values, and morals they offer that we can use today. Join me on the journey through the magical and meaningful world of folk and fairy tales. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Tales for Life, the podcast that journeys through life, one tale at a time. I'm so glad you've chosen to spend a few moments here, especially at this time of year, when the days grow shorter, the lights glow warmer, and reflection seems to come naturally. Today's episode is titled, Right Here, Right Now. We often find ourselves looking ahead toward the next big thing, a holiday gathering, a New Year's resolution, a long-awaited change. Our minds race toward plans, goals, and possibilities, as if the future holds the key to something more real than what's already here. Other times, we drift in the opposite direction. We revisit moments of the past, a celebration, a conversation, a season that felt just right. Sometimes we linger there, wishing we could return. Sometimes we carry regret, hoping we'd done things differently. None of this is wrong. Looking forward and looking back are part of being human. But when we live only in those directions, we miss the one thing we truly have, this moment. Or, as some famous quotes refer to it, the present. That spot where we are currently living, the here and now, between memories and anticipation. And that's what today's story is all about. In this episode, we turn to a timeless classic from Hans Christian Andersen, a tale that reminds us of the beauty we often overlook, and the importance of cherishing what's right in front of us. It's called The Fir Tree. Far down in the forest, where the warm sun and the fresh air made a sweet resting place, grew a pretty little fir tree. And yet it was not happy. It wished so much to be tall like its companions, the pines and firs which grew around it. The sun shone and the soft air fluttered its leaves, and the little peasant children passed by prattling merrily, but the fir tree heeded them not. Sometimes the children would bring a large basket of raspberries or strawberries wreathed on a straw and seat themselves near the fir tree and say, "Is it not a pretty little tree?" which made it feel more unhappy than before. As it grew, the fir tree complained, "Oh, how I wish I were as tall as the other trees. Then I would spread out my branches on every side, and my top would overlook the wide world. I should have the birds building their nest on my boughs, and when the wind blew, I should bow with stately dignity like my tall companions." The tree was so discontented that it took no pleasure in the warm sunshine, the birds, or the rosy clouds that floated over it morning and evening. Two winters passed, and when the third arrived, the tree had grown tall. Yet it remained unsatisfied and would exclaim, "Oh, if I could but keep on growing tall and old, there is nothing else worth caring for in the world." In the autumn, the woodcutters came and cut down several of the tallest trees. They were placed upon wagons and drawn by horses out of the forest. Where were they going? What would become of them? The young fir tree wished very much to know. So in the spring, when the swallows and the storks came, it asked, "Do you know where those trees were taken?" The swallows knew nothing, but the stork, after a little reflection, nodded his head and said, "Yes, I think I do. I met several new ships when I flew from Egypt, and they had fine masts that smelt like fir." "Oh, how I wish I were tall enough to go on the sea," said the fir tree. "Rejoice in thy youth," said the sunbeam. "Rejoice in thy fresh growth and the young life that is in thee." And the wind kissed the tree, and the dew watered it with tears, but the fir tree regarded them not. Christmas time drew near, and many young trees were cut down, some even smaller and younger than the fir tree. These young trees were also laid on wagons and drawn by horses out of the forest. "Where are they going?" asked the fir tree.
We know,
sang the sparrows. "We have looked in at the windows of the houses in the town, and we know what is done with them. They are dressed up in the most splendid manner. We have seen them standing in the middle of a warm room and adorned with all sorts of beautiful things. Honey cakes, gilded apples, playthings, and many hundreds of wax tapers." "I wonder whether anything so brilliant will ever happen to me," thought the fir tree. "It would be much better than crossing the sea. I long for it almost with pain. Oh, when will Christmas be here? Oh, that I were now laid on the wagon or standing in the warm room with all that brightness and splendor around me." "Rejoice with us," said the air in the sunlight. "Enjoy thine own bright life in the fresh air." But the tree would not rejoice, though it grew taller every day. A short time before Christmas, the discontented fir tree was the first to fall. As the axe cut through the stem, the tree fell with a groan to the earth, and forgetting all its anticipations of happiness, in sorrow at leaving its home in the forest. The tree first recovered itself while being unpacked in the courtyard of a house with several other trees, and it heard a man say, "We only want one, and this is the prettiest." Then came two servants in grand livery and carried the fir tree into a large and beautiful apartment. Then the fir tree was placed in a large tub full of sand, but green baize hung all around it so that no one could see it was a tub, and it stood on a very handsome carpet. How the fir tree trembled! What was going to happen to him now? Some young ladies came, and the servants helped them to adorn the tree. On one branch they hung little bags cut out of colored paper, and each bag was filled with sweetmeats. From other branches hung gilded apples and walnuts, as if they had grown there. And above and all around were hundreds of red, blue, and white tapers, which were fastened on the branches. Dolls, exactly like real babies, were placed under the green leaves. The tree had never seen such things before. And at the very top was fastened a glittering star made of tinsel. Oh, it was very beautiful. "This evening," they all exclaimed, "how bright it will be!" "Oh, that the evening were come," thought the tree, "and the tapers lighted. Then I shall know what else is going to happen." At last the tapers were lighted, and then what a glistening blaze of light the tree presented. It trembled so with joy in all its branches that one of the candles fell among the green leaves and burnt some of them. "Help! Help!" exclaimed the young ladies. But there was no danger, for they quickly extinguished the fire. After this, the tree tried not to tremble at all, though the fire frightened him. He was so anxious not to hurt any of the beautiful ornaments, even while their brilliancy dazzled him. And now the folding doors were thrown open, and a troop of children rushed in as if they intended to upset the tree. For a moment, the little ones stood silent with astonishment. And then they shouted for joy till the room rang, and they danced merrily round the tree while one present after another was taken from it. Then the children received permission to plunder the tree. Oh, how they rushed upon it till the branches cracked, and had it not been fastened with the glistening star to the ceiling, it must have been thrown down. The children then danced about with their pretty toys, and no one noticed the tree, except the children's maid who came and peeped among the branches to see if an apple or a fig had been forgotten. "A story! A story!" cried the children, pulling a little fat man towards the tree. "Now we shall be in the green shade," said the man as he seated himself under it, "and the tree will have the pleasure of hearing also. But I shall only relate one story. What shall it be? Ivedi Avedi, or Humpty Dumpty, who fell downstairs but soon got up again and at last married a princess?" "Ivedi Avedi," cried some. "Humpty Dumpty," cried others, and there was a fine shouting and crying out. Then the old man told them the story of Humpty Dumpty, how he fell downstairs and was raised up again and married a princess. Ah, yes, so it happens in the world, thought the fir tree. He believed it all because it was related by such a nice man. Ah, well, he thought, who knows? Perhaps I may fall down too and marry a princess. And he looked forward joyfully to the next evening, expecting to be again decked out with lights and playthings, gold and fruit. And the tree remained quiet and thoughtful all night. In the morning, the servants and the housemaid came in. Now, thought the fir, all my splendor is going to begin again. But they dragged him out of the room and upstairs to the garret and threw him on the floor in a dark corner where no daylight shone. And there they left him. So the tree was completely hidden from sight, as if it had never existed. I wish this place were not so dark, as well as lonely, with not even a little hare to look at. How pleasant it was out in the forest while the snow lay on the ground when the hare would run by, yes, and jump over me too, although I did not like it then. Oh, it is terrible lonely here. Squeak, squeak, said a little mouse, creeping cautiously towards the tree. Then came another, and they both sniffed at the fir tree and crept between the branches. Oh, it is very cold, said the little mouse, or else we should be so comfortable here, shouldn't we, you old fir tree? I am not old, said the fir tree, and there are many who are older than I am. Where do you come from, and what do you know? Asked the mice, who were full of curiosity. Have you seen the most beautiful places in the world, and can you tell us all about them? And have you been in the storeroom, where cheeses lie on the shelf and hams hang from the ceiling? One can run about on tallow candles there, and go in thin and come out fat. I know nothing of that place, said the fir tree, but I know the wood where the sun shines and the birds sing. And then the tree told the little mice all about its youth. They had never heard such an account in their lives, and after they had listened to it attentively, they said, What a number of things you have seen! You must have been very happy. Happy! Exclaimed the fir tree. And then as he reflected upon what he had been telling them, he said, Ah, yes, after all, those were happy days. But when he went on and related all about Christmas Eve and how he had been dressed up with cakes and lights, the mice said, How happy you must have been, you old fir tree! I am not old at all, replied the tree. I only came from the forest this winter. What splendid stories you can relate, said the little mice. And the next night, four other mice came with them to hear what the tree had to tell. The more he talked, the more he remembered. And then he thought to himself, Those were happy days, but they may come again. The next night, a great many more mice made their appearance. And on Sunday, two rats came with them. But they said it was not a pretty story at all. And the little mice were very sorry, for it made them also think less of it. The little mice kept away after this, and the tree sighed and said, It was very pleasant when the merry little mice sat round me and listened while I talked. Now that is all past too. However, I shall consider myself happy when someone comes to take me out of this place. One morning, people came to clear out the garret. The boxes were packed away and the tree was pulled out of the corner and thrown roughly on the garret floor. Then the servant dragged it out upon the staircase where the daylight shone. Now life is beginning again, said the tree, rejoicing in the sunshine and fresh air. Then it was carried downstairs and taken into the courtyard so quickly that it forgot to think of itself and could only look about. There was so much to be seen. The court was close to a garden where everything looked blooming. Now I shall live, cried the tree, joyfully spreading out its branches. But alas, they were all withered and yellow, and it lay in a corner amongst weeds and nettles. The star of gold paper still stuck in the top of the tree and glittered in the sunshine. And the tree saw all the fresh, bright flowers in the garden, and then looked at itself and wished it had remained in the dark corner of the garret. It thought of its fresh youth in the forest, of the merry Christmas evening, and of the little mice who had listened to the story of Humpty Dumpty. Past, past, said the old tree. Oh, had I but enjoyed myself while I could have done so, but now it is too late. Then a lad came and chopped the tree into small pieces, till a large bundle lay in a heap on the ground. The pieces were placed in a fire under the copper, and they quickly blazed up brightly, while the tree sighed so deeply that each sigh was like a pistol shot. Then the children, who were at play, came and seated themselves in front of the fire and looked at it and cried, "Pop! Pop!" But each pop, which was a deep sigh, the tree was thinking of a summer day in the forest, and of Christmas evening, and of Humpty Dumpty, the only story it had ever heard or knew how to relate, till at last it was consumed. Now, all was past, the tree's life was past, and the story also, for all stories must come to an end at last. As we reflect on the fir tree, it's easy to feel the sadness of its ending, the regret, the mischances, the longing for what was or what could have been. But let's not forget, the story is also filled with beautiful moments. The warmth of the forest, the joy of the holiday celebration, the quiet wonder of being chosen and adorned. These were real, they mattered, and they were enough. If only the fir tree had noticed. There's a lesson here for all of us. Looking ahead helps us plan, dream, and move forward. Looking back helps us remember, celebrate, and learn. But when we're consumed by what's behind or what's ahead, like the fir tree, we risk missing what's happening right now. The laughter in the next room, the light through the window, the warmth of being present, fully and simply. At every stage of life, there are things to enjoy and be grateful for. Whether we're young and full of questions, middle-aged and juggling responsibilities, older and reflecting on the journey, or anywhere in between, life keeps offering us moments. They may be small, they may be fleeting, but they're ours, and they're worth noticing. So this holiday season, I invite you to pause. Look around. Find one thing, or maybe a few, that you can be grateful for right now. A conversation, a cozy corner, a memory being made. Let those moments be enough. Let them be everything, because that moment will never come again. So be there when it's happening. Thanks for spending this time with us. Wishing you a joyful, peaceful week ahead, and we hope you'll join us again for the next episode of Tales for Life, the podcast that journeys through life, one tale at a time.